blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
With you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord said to Abraham, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50,000 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. "Surely, suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of the 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 138, found in your bulletin. Let us read it responsibly by half verse. "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart.
Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name.
Because of your love and faithfulness.
For you have glorified your name.
And your word above all things.
When I called, you answered me.
You increased my strength within me.
All the kings of the earth will praise you, O Lord.
When they have heard the words of your mouth.
They will sing of the ways of the Lord.
That great is the glory of the Lord.
Though the Lord be high, he cares for the lowly.
He perceives the haughty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe.
You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
The Lord will make good his purpose for me.
O Lord, your love endures forever. You do not abandon the work of your hands.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. You were buried with him in baptism. You were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you live together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink, or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with the growth that is from God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gather, call to hear thee.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Be seated, please. We're standing in the narthex before coming in. Someone said to me, "Oh, I'm eager to see what you're going to do with these readings." And I said, typically when something like that is said to me, "Me too." And I have to say that I was thinking of sort of a preface sitting over there that I think about the inspiration of Holy Spirit. You know, we as Episcopalians not say this is the literal word of God. I mean, in other words, God didn't write these things down. I realize my stance is something more like the movies that begin with "inspired by true events." I like "inspired by the Holy Spirit." That really says it for me. And that means, though people have been inspired to write, they say some pretty crazy things in what we read. I mean, usually we skip over those parts on Sunday morning, but sometimes they make their way through, and then here am I, poor preacher, having to deal with that. Let's see if that fits at all with what I'm about to say to you. The first thought that occurred to me about these propers was how badly God comes off in the reading from Genesis. I mean, Abraham looks like a rock star in the world of negotiation. He uses an effective technique in his conversation with God. "What kind of God would you be, he implies, if you allowed that kind of collateral damage? 50 people, come on," Abraham says. Then he says, "But after all, what do I know? I'm just ashes and dust." That's also one of my favorite things he says, because there are echoes of, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return on Ash Wednesday morning," and what we say at burials, ashes to ashes, earth to earth, dust to dust. So that's a pretty good description of us, dust and ashes. But anyway, I digress. Once again, and impressive negotiator. Within a few sentences, he struck an even better deal with God. He's got him down to 10. My problem is the way God is portrayed here. In the first place, God has told Abraham only that this bad situation in Sodom and Gomorrah has come to his ears, and he's going to check it out. Abraham knows something about the deity with whom he speaks, and he automatically assumes that means death and destruction. Knowing God as he does, he knows this will turn into lots of collateral damage. God, what kind of God indeed would do such a thing? You might be waiting for me to say something redeeming here about God, but I'm sorry to disappoint you. This goes back to in seminary when people would talk about acts of God, and I'd go, hold on just a minute here. Or, you know, this happened for the greater good of all, this earthquake that swallowed up umpty ump number of people, this pandemic that caused this many deaths. I've never been amenable to, well, if we only understood God, we know why he killed people by the hundreds of thousands of millions. I'm not saying I'd know God better than that. I'm just saying it's hard for me to swallow that. Instead, what I believe, I think I said it last week, is whatever death and destruction and mayhem and chaos we find ourselves in the middle of, God is there with us. And God is always on our side. But it's not God whacking, in my humble opinion, God whacking us up alongside the head so we'd go, oh, I get it now. My favorite teachers that I remember, there are people I know that do say, oh, I remember Ms. So-and-so. She really, you know, she'd throw erasers and chalk and blah. Or in another program that I'm a part of, someone will sometimes say, oh, my first sponsor was great because he really kicked my behind. And I thought, you know what? I've rarely needed somebody else to do that for me because nobody knows how to do that to me as well as I do myself. Second digression. Okay. So I've never been in the business of trying to make God come off well. Here instead is this. The best I can do to say is to say that this description is born out of a time and culture that viewed God as a somewhat benign dictator, an autocrat who ruled with an iron fist, because that's what they knew. That vengeful God about whom Jonathan Edwards preached in his famous sermon, I was going to look it up. I'm pretty sure, though, it's Miserable Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. We all know that one. That scowling, heavy-browed, white-bearded God painted in the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. This hard-to-convince, ready-for-annihilation God, in my opinion, exists in the imaginations of the faithful followers of God in their generations, inspired by true events. Do let me be clear that I don't pretend to have a full understanding of the divine nature, even for our own generations, much less beyond that. Still, I find myself looking at the readings from a different perspective. What is God's role and character apart from Abraham's assumptions and preconceptions? God, like Mary in last week's gospel, you remember, listens. Though God knows our needs before we ask, that was the collect from last week. There's also the matter of our offering ourselves to God in terms of what we pray for and how we pray. We reveal ourselves, our inmost selves, to God precisely by presenting our needs and hopes and desires. And we learn a bit about those parts of ourselves in that process. The gospel deals with exactly those issues, today's gospel. As one of the disciples puts it, as simply as, how do we pray? He asks this of God in the flesh, incarnate, in the person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus doesn't start off with a story. He follows by a story. But he doesn't start off with a story or a preamble or anything else. I need to credit my son, Ben, with that observation. We sort of compared our sermons. The first thing out of Jesus' mouth is, when you pray, say. And then he tells what we now know as the Lord's Prayer. A prayer we still pray in church, at AA meetings, and at all manner of ecumenical and interfaith gatherings, and in our beds at night or in the morning. Here's what one of my spiritual heroes, Frederick Buechner, has to say about this instruction. Well, about these readings. An excerpt from a sermon of his entitled The Power of God and the Power of Man. Buechner. Maybe some say, I know human love, and I know something of its power to heal, to set free, to give meaning and peace. But God's love I know only as a phrase. Maybe others also say this, for all the power that human love has to heal, there is something deep within me and within the people I know best that is not healed but aches with longing still. So if God's love is powerful enough to reach that deep, how do I find it? How? That is really the question. If we're really seeking this power, then I have one thing to say, Buechner still. Perhaps it is not the only thing, but it is enormously important. Ask for it. There's something in me that recoils a little at speaking so directly and childishly, but I speak this way anyway because it's the most important thing I have in me to say. Ask and you will receive. And there is the other side to it too. If you had never known the power of God's love, then maybe it is because you have never asked to know it. I mean, really ask, expecting an answer. I'm saying just this. Go to him the way the father of the sick boy did and ask him. Pray to him is what I'm saying. And whatever words you have, and if the little voice that is inside all of us as the inheritance of generations of unfaith, if this little voice inside says, but I don't believe it, I don't believe, don't worry too much. Just keep on anyway. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief is the best any of us can do, really, but thank God, it is enough. You see why he's one of my spiritual heroes. Finally, I would point out that after Jesus has told his disciples, ask and you will receive, he ends by saying, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father, and listen to this, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Not that new car, or even deliverance from this illness right now, but the Holy Spirit. So God, knowing us and what we need, gives us always what we need the most, the Holy Spirit. to guide us, to comfort us, to love us, and stand by us in our disbelief and in the times of heartfelt belief and awareness of God's grace and love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let the light perpetual shine on them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. We pray especially for Jim, Ann, John, David, James, Patty, Jill, Karen, Stephen, Diane, Maureen, Craig, Janet, Chris, Philip, RG, Carol, Sarah, Joey, Alan, George, the Degatere family, Martha and family, Kenda, pray for the people of Ukraine. And for those in the military, Brian, Trevor, James, Reed, Kevin, Ryan, Terry, Chris, Jonathan, Eric, and all in harm's way. We pray for those who are traveling. We pray in thanksgiving with Pat Bass and Sandy.
celebrate their birthdays this year.
I invite your prayers for thanksgivings at this time, silently or aloud. Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Would you please stand?
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
What?
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemptional Father in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him. In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. May the blessing of the God of Abraham and Sarah, and of Jesus Christ, born of our sister Mary, and of the Holy Spirit, who broods over the world as a mother over her children, be upon you and remain with you always.
Amen.
I'll put a footnote in that sermon. I don't think the Bible is inspired mainly by inspired by true events, but inspired by the Holy Spirit, which is a couple of cuts above that. So just to be clear on that point. Another is Daughters of the King is meeting. Sandy, do we go to coffee first and then we go over there, or just go straight to the library? Anybody
know? We meet the 31st.
Today's the 24th. Man, I had that. I just thought I had it down pat. I don't. Carol Weathers has an announcement for you, and then I'm going to make my way back there. We'll actually do a dismissal after that. Glad you're all here today. It's so good to see some new faces. Yes, Cecile.
Do you need someone to sign up for flowers for next Sunday?
Flowers for next Sunday. Is that David, the volunteer?
Yes, it's me. The first thing I want to say is I'm not going to be here next week, but Sandy and Rufus are serving at the altar for the last time.
Oh,
wow.
And they're going to still be good here helping us, but they won't be at the altar acolyting or laboring. So, I'm begging. For a little help, we need somebody to fill in and take the place of these two faithful servants.
Absolutely. That's a double whammy. We need people to serve, and we need for you to tell all your friends to be sure and be here in Sandy and Rufus's
Not last Sunday, but last Sunday up here at the altars.
Up here at the altar. Okay. And the other thing is, you don't need to be perfect. I forgot to ring the bells today. I do that about 30 minutes.
Carol Johnson.
It happens, all right?
I don't know if you can hear that, but Carol Johnson covers.
He asked me to give the announcement here because so the people at home can see me. It's not that big a deal. Number one, we have fresh donuts next door, so please come and join us for, I almost said happy hour. Join us in the parish hall for coffee, and I've got to run over there and make it, so take your time getting there. And also, we've had wonderful ladies come and help us sort, pitch, and price things that we have for our rummage sale. I know some of you have things that you would like to donate. For the sake of us, would you please wait until closer to the sale so we're not more overwhelmed than we already are? So we love getting your donations. We just have more than we can handle at this particular time. We'll meet again in August, and we'll probably get a bunch of it knocked out that we already have. Then when you bring your new things, we will have time to go through them and price them. So thank you all.
Thank you, Carol. Now if you'll all stand. See, I still think that's less of an intrusion.